Okay. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
It literally just took everything in me not to call them the dead things.
Five Russian guys that revolutionized hockey.
Time and space. Time and space. All you gotta do, create time and space.
What happened to the little baby goalies? Like, and then you catch yourself and you're like...
Some goon takes out one of your star players.
Wow. Oh, that's neat.
That's Sarah, and that's Liz. You may know them from Sarah and Liz Watch Hockey. And in this episode, Sarah and Liz go to the movies to watch the Russian Five.
The game between the Avs and the Red Wings when all shit broke loose.
Feelings were had, feelings were hurt, tears were shed.
Anyway.
The Russian Five. Obviously, you and I are what one might call slight Avalanche fans. And by that, I mean ridiculous, crazy. What was it that Ice Mom's friend said? More than the average Avs fan?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Uh-huh. So, a movie about the Detroit Red Wings. It literally just took everything in me not to call them the dead things.
Look at you. I'm proud of you. You're growing up so fast.
I know. Well, the problem is that movie just made me have so much more respect for them. And like, I don't know that I will ever like them because I can't, because... Obviously, I grew up in the era of everything Red Wings is evil.
Pretty much.
But that documentary was incredible.
It was so good.
And like I said, I have so much more respect for that team and what they went through. And honestly, what they did for the Avalanche and what they did for the NHL as a whole. And I never really realized that until I saw the documentary.
Right. And it's like, it's one of those things that you don't. Like, I guess you kind of just assume that they were kind of always there, you know? Like, cause I remember when we were watching it, I'm like, wait, what? That didn't happen till like the 80s?
Right. For anybody who doesn't know, the Russian Five was a documentary that was recently at the Alamo in Denver. It was the only place, I think, in the state that was playing it.
I have it up. It's still showing, like, so...
Is it at the Alamo? I thought that it was done.
No, it's through April 4th, it looks like.
Oh, shit. I was all butthurt that they weren't showing it anymore because I kind of want to see it again.
Same.
Yeah. Well, then, yeah. I guess we're going again.
Yeah, it looks like it's showing through. Anyway.
But regardless, it's at like one place in Colorado or maybe two places in Colorado, but it was a film in like that. I have their website up, but it was like the Seattle Film Festival and like, I don't know, all of these other film festivals.
It won a lot. That, I know that.
Mm-hmm, won a ton of awards. And I think it's a little bit ridiculous that it didn't play more places, but I guess that our world is not really as hockey obsessed as we are.
Probably not. Well, and I'm sure a lot, like, I mean, I know, like, especially Sergei Fedorov, I loved him. And so I had no idea that, like, they just weren't always there. So it could just be something people just don't know.
That's true. And maybe it's something that as more people watch it and it gets more hype, I guess. You know, maybe it'll go more places. You know, I'm excited for it to come out somewhere. My mother refuses to go to the theater.
Of course she does.
So I won't be able to, well, she doesn't like the noise. I won't be able to show her this until it comes out on DVD or on Amazon or wherever. And so I'm really excited for it to do that because I know a lot of people who would want to see this that can't get to Denver for the crazy show times and who won't have the opportunity to watch it. And, you know, people like my mom who... obviously we're a little bit more aware than, you know, 10-year-old me back in the day and who knew about all of these things that happened because, you know, one of the things I was talking to her about is that I had no idea about the accident after the first Stanley Cup and any of that.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, I swear every time we go see a movie, I cry.
I'm sorry, Liz. Did you just admit that you cried at a movie about the Detroit Dead Things?
I did. And I was fine. I was fine until he was at the game, and then all hell broke loose and the floodgates opened. I'm like, God damn it!
That was adorable and upsetting all at the same time.
But it was so good. I really want like the cute little GM who is now like basically the co-owner of the Red Wings.
Oh my God, I know. He's adorable and ridiculous. He's totally ridiculous and I love him.
Well, and what's also like, here's what's funny. So like, you don't think about like, they have the whole like, oh, KGB officers follow around these hockey players. I didn't know that that's actually how it went. That right? They had their own KGB agents and that they're like sneaking them out of hotels at 2 o'clock in the morning so that they don't get caught. Oh, it's so ridiculous. Like, I swear, it's like the kind of stuff you see on like James Bond. You're like, this is how James right. Bond and is getting in and out of a hotel. And then this is how you're getting hockey players in and out of a hotel.
In the 80s, like the late right? 80s. It wasn't even, you know, 1981. No. it's totally ridiculous. And it's ridiculous. To be fair, at this point, the 80s is a long time ago. Theoretically speaking, I was an 80s baby. I don't like saying that, but you know, it still feels so recent. And like you said, it just feels like they've always mm-hmm. been around, because in our lifetime they have been. You know, I'm not aware of a hockey world that doesn't include Russians. I'm not aware of a hockey world that doesn't like people who are outside of North America, you know?
Yes.
And that was one of the craziest things that I learned in that documentary, is that it was a huge deal. And these five got targeted so heavily for being Russian and for being outside of the North American, I guess, circuit.
Right. And like how they got out, that's what really like cracks me up. So like one of them, I think it was Fedorov, just left. Like, I think he just peaced out. One mm-hmm. of them like faked having cancer to leave.
Right. Well, because they were all in the Russian army too.
And then, yeah. And then I think one of them was like pretended to be kidnapped. And then the other two, I think, just stood up against, I've done some research since we saw this and I really needed to know. And I think the other two just ended up standing up against the like Soviet regime. So I think they just won their freedom to play.
Right.
I think Igor was one of them, or Igor, however the hell you want to say it. And I don't remember who the other one was. But like, that's ridiculous. Like faking cancer to go play hockey.
Well, it really is though, because they were, and that's something that doesn't make sense to us, because frankly, let's be completely honest. We live in a society that idolizes our sports heroes yeah. and they, I don't want to say get away with a lot, but they get away with a lot.
Oh, they do.
And like, it's unheard of to think about, you know, these sports stars and these athletes that have such huge talent being in the military and mm-hmm. going and doing anything, quote unquote, for the country, because playing in front of hundreds of thousands of people is considered doing something for your country, right?
Yeah.
And like, you look at these Russians who were captains and whatnot in the Russian army. And that is a huge part of the reason that it was such a big deal for them to get out.
And that's why like it's funny to like sit here and because there's like a part where they talk about like, oh, we're at the hockey, what they call it, like the hockey, it was like hockey camp, I think is what they called it, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm sitting there, I'm like, so what? Is this just like a little like, is it kind of like a sleepaway hockey camp where you're also doing like military stuff? It was so weird because it's something that we just have no concept for, and it applies right. like anywhere that has like mandatory military service, like mm-hmm. Korean men have to go when they're like 26 into the military and there's no choice, and it's like, it's just weird because so much of it, like, it's your honor is mm-hmm. riding on your military service, and it's just so weird. Plus the Iron Curtain doesn't make it any better, but
well, of course. I really enjoyed learning that they had to ask the journalist to take the letters to the first two. And it's so cute just hearing their reactions. And like, what was it? Fedorov was just like dead faced. And
I think it was Konstantinov.
Oh my God. I am so much trouble with these Russian names. First to admit it. Yeah, and Konstantinov, who was like giddy, like a small child.
Right. And then you think it'd be like the exact opposite. Cause like Fedorov was a wee baby. I think he was only like 18 or something.
Right.
Well, and it's also funny cause like they, like I was talking to my mom about it at the game yesterday about all the dump and chase hockey and how it drives me crazy. But that at a time, I think it was either Boston or Philly that started that dump and chase hockey. And it revolutionized hockey.
Right.
And then you have five Russian guys that revolutionize hockey. Like, it's five guys that change how the entire game is played.
Well, and to a lesser degree, though, you see it happening even now, right? So, you know, on a small scale, you know, we look at someone like Sam Girard, who for us has done that tornado move, the little spin. Mm-hmm. And how many times have we seen people on our team emulate that? And more we're seeing other people on other teams do that as well. Yeah. And like, I know that it's not this grand change. It's not going from dump and chase to passing and creating space and all of that stuff, but it made me more aware of the way that a small number of players can have such a big impact on what people are doing and how the game can shift in small ways to make a big change.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it's more than just players too, because like, look at how, in this case, the managers changed it by going out of their way. And I mean, Patrick Waugh revolutionized it in one, five games by pulling his goalie stupidly early.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, it's also interesting that it's kind of gone back the other way now. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
It's still not quite as late as it used to be, but since Patrick Waugh left as coach of the Avs, it's definitely changed back. It's moved back towards later and later.
It's just funny. Like, because it's little things that you don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're sitting here talking about how prior to this, like, the possession style of hockey wasn't really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, now I'm sitting here and I'm like, could I imagine hockey without the possession style play?
Yes, we're having.
And then it's, I'm like,
sorry.
Like, sitting here thinking, I'm like, huh. I mean, as Avs fans, it's not like possession is much of a thing for us
right. Half
the time. But it's like, they even, when they try to play that style of hockey, like, could you, like, I don't imagine that not being like an accepted thing, like just how it is. It's so like weird.
Well, and that's what I learn all the time. And, you know, that's what I tell the girls that I coach is, hold on to it. Take a second, look for the pass. You know, you're not throwing it away. That's what Priya says to me all the time too. You know, when I tell him about things and stuff. Time and space, time and space. All you got to do, create time and space. Right? Mm.
That's just crazy. Like, it's, I guess it's kind of like you're seeing the OG things happen.
Right.
And then they showed like McNichols Arena and I got all emo and I'm like, I was at the last game at McNichols.
Oh, the good old days.
And if I wasn't at the last game, I was at one of the last games.
Right.
If I remember right. I don't know. I was little.
Right. I have one really strong memory of being at McNichols and being literally in the top row and right by a pillar. And like, that's all I remember. I don't remember anything about the game except for being in the last row and being up against that pillar.
That's amazing. I think, I don't remember if this is specifically at, I remember watching hockey at McNichols, but I think my mom will correct me if I'm wrong on this because she'll know better than me, but I remember, this is going to sound really stupid and it is really stupid, but I was a little kid, like little kid, and we went to a Nuggets game and I asked my mom why there was a white guy playing because I watched like Space Jam and stuff and like the stereotype of like knowing nothing about basketball was me. So I was so confused. Aww. And just dead ass asked my mom why a white guy was playing basketball.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, Liz, you sucked at a young age.
Live and you learn, I guess. Maybe.
But like, I think it's funny that like my most, like, the memory I have of McNichols is about a white guy playing basketball.
That's incredible. Well, it's funny what you take away, right?
It's so stupid. Well, then it's really fun. The one thing that, and I'm still minorly mind fucked over it, is like seeing that, like the game, like the game between the Avs and the Red Wings when all shit broke loose.
Right.
And it's like, I have never seen or heard that mm-hmm. from anybody's side but mine.
Right.
Which is the right side.
Well, if you ask me too, because that's the only side I never heard it from.
But so it was very strange to be like, I mean, even as an Avs fan, we can all admit Claude Lemieux's the definition of a goon.
Yes.
Like you, it's probably, he's probably there in the dictionary as a goon. But we loved him because, you know, he's our goon.
Right.
And that's fine. But it's so weird to hear how they're like reacting to him and like how they're just, it was so weird. And like, I'm really salty that they blame that loss on the fact that like, they, it's like they couldn't rally.
Right.
Like, I get losing your player is a big deal. And I mean, I get it. Avs fan. Remember, we get it. But like, even so, the perfect example is like the Avs are rallying. We're rallying since Landy's back, but they rallied and they end up like they could win games without their like star players.
Right.
So I feel like there's not, that's not an excuse for a poor performance. You know, like you got
to. Well, but it comes down like, to the mental aspect. Right. And that's kind of the interesting thing too, is, and that's part of what I really enjoyed about the documentary is that even though it wasn't necessarily overt, there was a lot about the mentality that had to go into it. And, you know, we talk about changing the game and that being a huge part of what these five Russians were able to do, but it wasn't just the style of game. It was the way that people were thinking about the games and mm-hmm. thinking about, you know, what happens when some goon takes out one of your star players? Do you come back from it? Do you rally from it? Or do you kind of shit the bed and let the other team steamroll you? And that's a huge mentality thing that, let's be completely honest, after that and after that point in that season, that's something the Red Wings had to overcome. And they did. That became absolutely outside of the norm for them to just back up and give up, right? You see it at the next big game that they had against the Avalanche. They crush us.
And then it's really frustrating because I'm like, yeah, they deserved that. And I'm like, who are you? What did you what? And then you catch yourself and you're like, wow, that's neat. This is, and then it's funny how they never played hurt before. Mm-hmm. Like when I think, was it Fedorov that broke his ribs?
I don't remember which one it was. But
I think it was him, but that like broke his ribs mm-hmm. and then played. And I'm like, y'all, when I was playing soccer, if I had like a cramp too bad in my side or whatever, like it was hard to play with like a stupid cramp, right? Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine playing with like broken ribs. Especially a contact sport like that. Like, nope. The like doctor in me just cringes and I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Well, you know that I have issues with my ribs and that like they float and do weird shit and come out of place. And I've had that happen to me during a game and it is miserable. And that is not even a broken rib. Like that is painful enough. And, you know, me being dumb, you also remember first time stepping on Pepsi Center ice, tanking it and cracking a rib. And I was out of commission for over a month. I could barely stand up because that hurt so bad. I cannot imagine trying to get on the ice. And again, that was only cracked and that was one rib.
He's like, oh, well, yeah, he just, whoever it was, I think the captain like went in and he talked to him and he like gave him a good talkie to him. Like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, no. Absolutely not. I know. So I guess that's when I found out I'm actually not cut out to be a, like, a hockey player.
I'm pretty sure we discovered that, like, your second or third game in.
That's not my fault. I did not agree to that. That was not my fault. I didn't get a say. If anyone asked me, that was not what was going to happen.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Anyway.
It did suck though.
Well, but that's the interesting thing too, though, is, and again, that kind of comes back to the mentality shift too, because, you know, it was interesting to hear that the way that people played against them was just to be physical, because that was not mm-hmm. the style of play that the Russians were used to, which is crazy to me. I mean, you look at like Z, and he's just like mm-hmm. the most physical player out there right now, just crushing people left and right. So it's crazy to think about Russian hockey not being that. And I know that that's a huge generalization, but, you know, they were so not used to it that that was literally how teams were winning games, is they were hurting and taking out these Russians who weren't used to having people be physical on them and weren't used to people being able to take the puck away from them by being that physical.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because I think one of us said it when we did the Dallas stream, that it's pretty well known and commented on by many people that if you play the Avs very physical, mm-hmm. it throws us off our game. And it's funny to see how, I guess, history kind of repeats itself. Because here we are talking about it like days before we see this movie, that the Avs are... like, if you play the Avs physical, we're going to shit the bed. And then here we are, where if you play the Russians physical, they shit the bed. And it's like 30 years later.
How funny is that? The more it changes, the more it stays the same.
Right? Jesus, dude. And then, oh my God. And then, like, sitting here watching the goalies, like, I forgot how, like, what is with goalie pads now? Like, they're so big.
I know.
What happened to the little baby goalies? Like,
it's not the game anymore. You know, the more that we learn about injury and the more we learn about, honestly, how brutal a sport this is in a lot of ways. And like, being a goalie is dangerous.
Oh, like, yeah.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I am 100% sure that I will. You have to be a special breed of crazy to be a goalie, because you are taken rubber puck straight at your body parts. And that puck is not forgiving at all.
No, I distinctly remember Carey Price at one of the skills challenge being excited to be shot at. And I'm like, what is wrong with you?
It's ridiculous.
Like, he's like, oh yeah, it's coming right in the bread basket. And I'm like, no. Like, my bread basket needs to remain breadless. I'm fine.
Well, and you think about these professional players have such wicked shots, too.
Oh, my God.
Like, you saw after Abe, shot a freaking puck at the net and I was in the way and he hit me smack in the ass. You saw that bruise. He's not a professional player.
Oh, Jesus.
Granted, he is tall and has had time to perfect a harder shot than many of the other D-League players. But still, I took a puck off the ass from a D-League player and I had a bruise for 6 weeks. A perfectly round puck-shaped bruise. It was quite wonderful, but I can't imagine something twice that speed.
No. Well, then it also makes you appreciate like how batshit crazy Patrick Waugh actually was.
Oh my God.
Like, to just go out and deadass take you on in those tiny little pads and not give a shit. Right. Like, holy crap.
And crazy ass here, motherfucker.
And I'm like cringing and I'm like, I felt that.
Well, through the screen too, right?
Yeah. And it's, again, 20 plus years later, like, I felt it. I felt it. Oh, especially when the fight happened, then you just see him go and tackle the other guy. And I'm like, oh, I felt that one too.
Well, I loved watching, as much as it's hard to admit this, I loved watching the fight and having the commentary from the other side.
It was very nice. Yeah.
I know that we both mentioned that we've only ever really heard the story from the Avalanche point of view. Mm-hmm. And it's not that different a story, but obviously the perspective and the perception is very different. It was interesting to see all of the parts of the fight and see more than typically is put out there as the reminder of this feud and this rivalry.
Yeah.
And to hear that. Go ahead.
And they were both coming from such, like, they both had so much to prove.
Right.
Like, because there was, that one happened in 97. Was it 97 or 96 that it happened?
I think it was it must have been.
We're going to ask the Google.
I think it was a little bit later than that because it was just recently, like the 20 year.
So, yeah, it was March 26, 1997.
Okay.
So, but like both teams came with like a lot to prove because like the Avs had just won their Stanley Cup, just now moving from being the worst team in the Canucks. I mean, not the Canucks, sorry. The shade.
Right.
Being the worst team in the Nordiques to moving to being the Avs and winning their first Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. And then to have that second season be like you have something to prove that it wasn't like a fluke. So not only did we have us trying to continue to prove ourselves, there's also Detroit trying to prove themselves that they didn't waste all these draft picks and all these money and all this trade. Like,
right
on these players. So, because I think they said it happened 12 years. That it took 12 years to win a Stanley Cup with the team that he said he would win one in like 8 with.
Yeah. So and they haven't won a cup in decades before that.
So it's like they had both teams had so much to prove. And I had no idea that like that much. That Detroit had that much that they had to prove too, because why would you?
Well, we're Avalanche fans. The Avs are the only thing that matters, right?
I mean, it's the only news you're gonna get.
Especially back in the day, right?
Oh yeah.
Before times of the internet being everywhere.
Yeah. But it's just you had no idea, and you would have no idea that would be so much, like carry so much importance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, that's neat. I'm like, really? I'm surprised that homeboy didn't get fired for drafting those players. Like, that's a very trusting owner. They're just like, I trust you, bro. You're going to get me some stuff.
That whole thing is interesting, too. Like, it was very cool to hear about their dynamic and really hear from, you know, people who are a huge part of that. And obviously, the owner has since passed away, so we couldn't hear from him in the documentary. But hearing from Devilano, right? That's his name?
I think so.
Hearing from him and hearing that, you know, the owner did have so much trust in him and that everybody thought that he was absolutely batshit insane. And it helps that he's absolutely freaking adorable and hilarious, but
he is so cute. Oh God. I just want to, he's like the grandpa. You just want to go cuddle.
Yes. Yes. I want one. It was cool to hear the story from his mouth and from their mouths. And it's also interesting to see, like, I think about this whole rivalry and this whole Avs versus Dead Wings era as being both really recent, I guess, but also so very long ago at this point. Like, it feels like ancient history. But then you look and like McCarty is still super young and still looks super young. And God,
he's a freaking hoot. Jesus.
I still don't like him, but he's a hoot for sure. And shit, as much as I hate to say it, learning that these guys have a personality and that they're real people, which obviously, you know, to an extent, because, you know, you and I, more than a lot of people, have had the experience with a lot of the current players to know that they are people and to be able to have that context, to be able to have that perspective and not, we're not really the people who are going to idolize players as, you know, something that's beyond because we know better.
My friend says it perfectly. She says that we look at them not as commodities.
Mm, I like that.
So that, yeah, they're just weird.
They're just people, right?
Yeah.
And you know that, and you can contextualize that, and we can contextualize that for the players that we know and that we have come to appreciate. But somehow it was a whole different thing to shift the perspective and come to that realization about some of the old Dead Wings, Red Wing.
And you're just like, you guys all have to suck. Like, you guys have to suck. You're on Detroit. You have to be horrible.
I want to hate you so bad.
Right? And even now, just like, if you're a, this is the perfect example is Minnesota now, because I would say Minnesota's a bigger rivalry now.
By far.
And so my DU heart beats true. And they're going to the Frozen Four, by the way. I just needed to say that.
Yes, they are. So is UMass.
So excited.
DU and UMass are playing each other. Did you see that?
Are you really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, plot twist. Oh, that's going to be neat.
Yes, it is.
But so it's like my DU heart still beats like true, and it always will. And I'm sitting here and I'm be like, Jason Zucker, what's good? And then he goes to Minnesota and I'm like, oh no, what do I do? And so like, you're like, I'm trying really hard to like not hate Minnesota, but you still hate Minnesota so much. And then your players start playing like the players where they're playing. That's a lot of playing in one sentence. And then you're like, stop it. You know better.
Why are you somewhere that I hate, have to hate you and playing well? You're not allowed to play well while I hate you.
Right? And then it's like when Baldy Baldface was the head coach at in Minnesota, and he would like encourage the...
Oh, yeah?
Less than... let's try to be PC after calling him Baldy McBaldface.
Fuck that. Mike Yao was a piece of trash.
Yeah, they basically that he would encourage the kind of underhanded shit.
Yep.
And then you see Zucker start doing it, and then I just rage, and I'm like, bitch, what would Gwaz say?
Also, I really appreciate that we are talking about Mike Yao as if he is dead and talking about him in the past. As far as I know, PSA, Mike Yao is not dead. He may be at least mostly dead to the hockey world, but
he's dead to me. Dead. That's all that matters.
Did not mean to insinuate that Mike Yao was a past tense human.
He's dead to me, just like Boudreaux is. You're dead to me.
Yep.
Who's that? I don't know. I knew him once.
We can't get into this list because if we talked about every hockey associated person who's dead to us, we would be talking all night.
There's only actually like, aside from him, there's actually only one other person that is legitimately dead to me that, like, and yet still manages to infuriate me on a whole new spiritual level.
Well, now I need to know.
Oh, you know who it is. It's Milan Lucic, and I want to push that bitch off a bridge. Purely for the reason that it would make his life inconvenient as all hell and not actually hurt him. It would just be such an inconvenience for him.
Excellent.
Because I don't want anyone to get hurt, and I don't want, like, I don't wish ill on anyone, but I really do want the inconvenience on some people.
This is the most Liz thing I've ever heard.
Like Brad Marchand, he licks people. I really want him to get licked by a dog that just licked his butt.
Well, okay then, that's very specific.
It's not sanitary either. So he's going to have to walk around with that on his face.
No. Ew. Oh, that's awful. Awful.
You're right. Especially for you, since you don't like, you're really offended by that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't like touching or fluid or bodies.
This tangent is so neat. Oh, so neat. Jesus. Oh, I don't. That was also what really frustrated me, is I really like Sergei Fedorov, and then I forgot he was on the Red Wings, and then I remembered he was on the Red Wings, and then I hated him, and then I found out what he had to go through to come back, and I'm like, damn it, I love you again.
Oh, I can attest to this. For anybody who was not in the theater with us, the second he shows up on the screen, she says out loud, God damn it. So attest to it.
I love him. He's a precious little baby and we must protect him.
At least we didn't have anybody fall asleep in the theater for this one.
Oh my God, dude. Shit. At least she didn't snore. Fucking A.
True.
I think someone actually fell asleep in Captain Marvel today, though.
Excellent.
It was It was neat. Is that like, I don't know.
Really, man. Thing.
The one thing I do want to know is like, did anything happen to that limo driver that actually caused this accident?
I have no idea. It never said anything about it. They never said anything about the massage therapist either in the documentary. So I don't know if he survived, if he died. They didn't say. Or I just missed it, which is also entirely possible.
Detroit Red Wings. Let's Google it.
There was a lot of information in that movie, too. Like,
there is.
I came out of that feeling emotionally hungover.
Yeah. Well, and it's the stupid Konstantinov thing, because he's the one that ended up like paralyzed and shit. And I'm like, he was so endearing because he's like the really awkward uncle that has like the driest sense of humor.
Yes.
Like with his, I'll be back, with his little Terminator shades. And oh, my God.
My heart. My heart.
The Vladinator, isn't that what they called him? Jesus.
Ugh.
But like, I need to know what happened.
Well,
and it was really sad that Fedorov couldn't even talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't talk about it either, if I'm honest. But yeah, I want to read. I don't give a crap about your stupid March Madness. It's called March Misery. I don't know. They call him the Vladinator. Can you confirm? I wonder if he can walk now. Oh, yep. He can walk with a walker.
Yep.
There's literally nothing about.
So what does the Googs have to say?
Oh, he was given a 9-month sentence. The driver was given a 9-month sentence. And then 15 months on probation. And 200 hours of community service for the misdemeanor charge of driving with a suspended license. So not only did he ruin a career, he was doing it he wasn't even supposed to be driving. That's neat.
Great.
I don't know. Let's find out what happened to the massage therapist. I don't know his name. Could Google it. It's Sergey MNATSAKANOV. That's a lot. It's Sergey Manana.
That's vowels. Yep.
Let's see, what's he up to? But yeah, Konstantinov can walk with a walker now. Doesn't say much about him. Like, there's nothing about him, really. Let me see. How old is this?
That's kind of sad.
The Vladinator. This is old. Jesus, that's old. This is a flashback of it. Maybe this will tell me what happened. So there was a 42-year Stanley Cup drought. So that's it took them 42 years. And then they went on that run where they were in the stupid playoffs for like 42 years.
Right. Forever and a day.
Yeah. Are they going to make the playoffs this year?
No.
Oh, darn.
They're already mathematically eliminated. They have been for a little while.
Spectacular.
I mean, I feel a little bit more sad for them after this, which I'm ashamed to admit.
I don't, because literally none of these guys are on the team anymore. So I can, I will be sad if, I don't care. I do care. I want to know where they are now. Oh, that was not helpful. That's too much to read. No idea. We're just going to assume he's happy and has 10 dogs.
Excellent. Great question. I appreciate
10
it.
Dogs and 5 proof. Cats. And maybe a bird.
Great. Yes.
And then I didn't realize that certain people played together. Like, I didn't realize Stevie Y was still, like, played that mm-hmm. late. Like, right. For whatever reason, I assumed he was done playing in, like, the 70s. And, like, my perspective is so off. Because I don't think he started playing. Like, when did he get drafted? Like, I think he got drafted in, like, 83.
Perspective is a funny thing, man. It really
I'm
is.
I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, he was totally playing in like the 70s. And I'm like, no. Yeah. 70s to me is 80s to normal people, I guess.
Sure.
Dude, I don't even know. And then Nick, good old Nick, who I'm always going to love, that no one heard me say that. But like, there's so many people that like, I had no idea played together. It's crazy. Right. Like, when did I didn't know y'all knew each other.
So the other thing that I want to talk about a little bit is the draft situation. So we talked about it a little bit. We were talking about like the journalist and all of that. But I find it really intriguing that all of these Russian players were entered into the draft and had no idea. Like, I talked about the reactions that Fedorov and Konstantinov had to learning that they'd been drafted. And that's just crazy to me that they had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me ask a lot of questions about that I've never thought about before. Like, how exactly did and does the draft work? And what are the rules and regulations around being put into the draft? And, you know, obviously, I think that there are a lot more regulations now than there used to be, is what it sounds like, based on what they were saying in the documentary, even. But to have players who were in the draft who got selected by teams whose rights were taken by teams, not to know that is just crazy to me.
Right. And just like, yeah, how do they not know? Would like, and that's funny that like, yeah, because people like announce their candidacy, right? Like,
I mean, what I realize is that I just have no idea. I have never paid enough attention to it.
I've
cared about the result of it, but I've never cared about the specifics or the logistics.
Yeah, I don't know how much. I don't really know how it works either. I feel like that's a whole like new rabbit hole.
Yep. I have a bad feeling we're going to go down that rabbit hole.
Oh, we're going to go down that rabbit hole. Maybe not today, Satan, because that might.
No, definitely not today, Satan. It is well past my normal bedtime.
It's about my normal bedtime.
I say at 10:58 on a Saturday night. Lame.
Yo, I was in bed at like, I'm salty that I had to be out and about at all today. Like,
yeah, I'm salty that you texted me because you texted me and woke me up this morning.
You are always up. I don't want to hear your crap. You are always up. So
I wasn't, though, today for the first time ever.
Why was I supposed to know that? And you always turn your phone on private, like your no, don't disturb or whatever. So I
don't. I don't anymore, actually.
And I've not woken you up.
Still going to give you crap about it.
Well, fine. You should have been awake. If I'm awake, you're awake.
Bitch, please.
Oh, I don't actually want to follow that because you are up ass early every day to go to work. And if that starts, I'm going to personally hunt you down and be like, I swear to God, I will slash your tires if you call me at 5:00 in the morning one more time.
Yep. 5:15. Time to get up, sweetheart. If you're awake, I'm awake.
This is why you have a cat. You don't need me
to be awake. I don't make the rules. You just made the rules.
It only counts for me on Saturdays.
No.
Yes.
It is. I will give you Jax for a day so that he can punch you in the face to wake you up.
Yo, Jax is going to have to live by the laws of the jungle in this household.
Nope, he won't. He's a cat. He lives by his own rules.
I could picture him and Tiny Woof Woof getting into a boxing match. I think that'd be pretty funny as all hell.
Probably. Who would win?
I feel like it might be a toss-up.
That's fair.
It'll have to be a draw because I feel like Tiny Woof Woof will get some good shots in, but then I feel like Jax will just come back and Aiden's gonna sit there and just watch it all happen and be the judgy queen she is.
Rolling her eyes.
She will.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Anyway.
Why are we like this?
I don't know, because it's late and we're tired and we're chaotic anyway.
That's true. Agents of Chaos.
And I'm going to give myself a bad rap here because I almost never drink, but apparently every time I record, I drink. And so I had a glass of wine tonight. Maybe more than a glass of wine tonight.
I had Oreos.
So you're Oreo drunk. Got it.
No, this is just called being alive in my world. This is existence.
Fair enough.
Oh, I also need you to know that the leggings and capris made a comeback today.
I'm not shocked.
At work.
Of course. Judging. Just a little bit.
Judge away. I mean, judge. It's fine. You can judge. I don't care.
Yep.
Because I'm going to do it no matter what. If you're going to make the strong choice, you got to follow through with it.
Yep.
And I'm fully committed to this choice.
We suck at staying on track.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be Sarah and Liz do movie recording or movie review.
The movie was great. It gave me feelings for Detroit and I am not okay with it. And now I'm basically in perpetual state of existential crisis.
Mom, I told you not to sign this permission slip for the Fields trip. I didn't want to go.
I love that you think my mom signs permission slips for the Fields trips. I usually go on them and then she's like, bitch, are you good? I'm like, no, I'm not good. Shut up.
Your mom sits back and laughs at your dumb ass after you go on the Fields trip. Let's be honest.
You should. She made me sit alone.
What?
There's a story there. I'm gonna send you some gifts.
Okay.
And I was sitting alone, and by sitting alone, I mean I was sitting next to Sarah and Jen, but they didn't quite understand the spiral that I was about to go down.
Hold on. Stop for a second. Explain what you mean. Nobody other than me knows this context.
About what?
Sitting alone.
Okay, hang on. Let me send you these gifts first. Come here. They're important. I even have a folder that is GIF spelled wrong. It's spelled G-E-F-T-S because I'm a dipshit and spelled it wrong. Lovely. And couldn't be bothered to fix it. All right, so I'm sending you the things. So, basically, I don't... What game was it? Who were we playing? We won.
I don't know. Someone. It was two games ago, right?
Yeah, it was the game before this last one.
So not the Knights, but the Hawks? I thought it was an evening game.
No, it was the Knights, was it, I think.
The Knights?
It was the Knights. Either way.
Oh, yeah. That was, yeah. Anyway.
So my niece came to the game, and she is six, and she's like everything. She's the coolest goddamn kid ever to exist in the history of existence. And she has a crush on Kerf, which is... Oh, so cute.
But he already knows.
Yeah, so I'm... pause this story. I made Marin a sign that said, Team Kerfoot, and in parentheses it says, I'm the niece, because he's heard a lot about her, because, like, that kid is literally one of my favorite humans, so I talk about her a lot.
We both talk about her.
And so I started to think he thought she was not real. So she came to a game and I made her the sign. And she came to the second game and I asked her if she wanted the sign and she said no. And I asked her why. And she's like, because he already knows. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this kid. But she came to this game and my mom and I sit behind the bench. And my mom didn't want to move her seat, which is fine. But then Marin took my seat, so I got kicked out of my seat for that game and had to go sit a section over, and I ended up sitting...
Which you say very insulted, like, if your mom didn't want to move, then Marin should have gotten sat by Sarah and Jen. Which I find really, really entertaining for a number of reasons.
You want to know what's really sad is I actually almost tried to argue that.
I'm not surprised in the slightest.
Like, my mom's like, I'm not moving. And I'm like, make Marin move.
Six 6 years old, right? Six?
She was with Sarah and Jen. She would have been fine.
But did you know at the time that you were sitting right next to Sarah and Jen?
No, I didn't know until I walked up to sit in my seat. My mom's like, go sit with Sarah and Jen. And I'm like, what?
What? So they usually sit in the 300 level and you were...
Yes, I was like, absolutely not. I will not do these things in any... No. Well, it turns out they were sitting in 104, which is the section right next to us. And so I went and sat over there. I ended up not seeing, being able to see like a quarter of the ice because people have big heads and the glass is just not ideal.
Yep.
And did you get the pictures I sent you?
Yes.
Okay, so that happened. And then...
For the record, she sent slightly provocative photos of Kerfi fixing his hair on the ice after removing his helmet.
It's slightly provocative. Okay. It's a sweat thing. And So that happened. And I like to say I was alone, but Sarah and Jen didn't understand why I was so affected. And so I just had to go into this minor crisis by myself. And then Jen's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'll be fine. Just let me be for a minute.
So what I'm hearing here is that Marin's not the only one who has a crush on Kerf. Got it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I say this as if it's news to me.
Purely platonic, I swear.
He would be a fun one to be friends with, I feel.
I feel like you are, in fact, correct, because he's smart.
I feel like you could, I know that you can have an intelligent conversation with him.
Yes, we are proof of this.
Yes, we have done so.
And he's on, they'll say, almost same level of awkward as me.
His Which weird is saying something.
And my weird are very similar.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just a little weirder about my weird.
You're a little more overt about your weird because you don't have the burden of being a professional athlete on your shoulders.
That's true. I'm kind of curious, even if I did, would I bother?
No.
Probably not.
No.
I don't think
0%.
Nah, can't be bothered.
Nope. Yeah, we're the worst at staying on track.
Dude, I really want to tell people this Ryan Graves story.
I mean, but it doesn't really fit with this podcast, but we're doing everything in the fucking world anyway now. By all means.
It's so cringy. I have to share my pain.
Please share the pain.
The picture's not going. We will not do that.
I cannot confirm nor deny whether or not I will send that.
You definitely should not, because it's really bad.
It's amazing.
It's so bad. It's so cringy.
It's so good.
No.
I have to send it at least so that Abspam knows. I can tell him not to send it out to everybody, but.
Okay, I guess Cam could see it.
Yes.
That's fine. That's fine.
Anyway.
Ryan Graves is as awkward as if he's the most awkward human I've ever encountered in my entire life. And it's amazing. I see you typing. What are you typing?
I'm typing quote unquote show notes.
Okay.
But you need to tell the story.
Well, went to practice and I felt bad that you didn't get to see him when you were there, so I asked him if he would go on camera and say like hi or something. And it's something I've done before. I've done it for multiple people.
I still have that Yakupov voicemail on my computer.
Yeah, I've done it with you for Yak, and like I've done it for Bailey and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I was awkward about it. To approach it because it's kind of a weird question. So I started off awkward. So I kind of set the tone. This is probably my fault.
Like, how were you awkward? Like, how did this go down? Can you do a like professional reenactment for me right now?
I mean, you can't see it. So what good is that?
I mean, I can still hear your voice and hear your tone.
Hang on.
You're supposed to be a theatrical human.
I am. I have a degree in theatricalness.
That's my point.
So I walked up and I'm like, I had already seen him and he signed my stick. And so I walked up with my phone and I'm like, this is going to sound weird, but my friend really likes you and she's always misses you when you're here. So would you be willing to go on camera and be like, hi, Sarah? Like, that's literally all I said. And I left it like, hi, Sarah. And then I giggled because it was awkward. And he just kind of looked at me like I had five heads, not three, but five. And he just kind of awkwardly giggled also. And he's like, so can we just like take a picture instead? And I'm like, I'm not prepared for this. I didn't even have my camera up. I had my phone in my hand. So then I had to take a couple minutes, like not even, it felt like 10 years, but it was probably like 30 seconds to like open my phone and get my camera up. And I took a really cringy picture.
Please note, she did not have her camera up, even though she was directly asking for a video at that moment. If that does not describe Liz, nothing does.
And so I got guilted into taking a picture because it was so awkward by him not wanting to say the video and asking for a picture instead that I could not physically make it any more awkward by saying no to the picture. So I had to take the picture.
And it might be the best picture I've ever seen in my entire life. It's like, so actually. Bad. I saved it to my phone and I'm fairly certain that it's going to end up being Liz's new photo on my phone for her. And by fairly certain, I mean already is.
Oh, shit. And it's the most awkward experience I've ever had with another human being in my entire life.
Which is saying something, because you're friends with me.
Not only that, between the two of us, we put other people in awkward situations. We have played witness to awkward situations that we have created.
But that's just fun.
But I have seen some awkward shit. I have been a part of some awkward shit. And there is literally nothing more awkward than that moment.
I mean,
I swear to you, there's nothing weirder than that. And we do weird things.
I mean, yeah.
There's nothing worse than that. I honestly don't think anything's ever going to make me as flustered as that did.
That's amazing.
It's not often that I panic on the level that I panicked.
Amazing.
It's so bad. So but he was so nice, but just so awkward.
That's amazing. So amazing. But also, I mean, I appreciate you trying.
I did try.
Yep.
The effort was strong. Strong effort. Thank you. Jesus Christ, dude.
I'm literally sending Cam the picture right now, for the record.
Oh, no. Okay. It's so bad. Oh, it's bad. I don't even think he recognized me coming back up either.
That's even better.
I think he was just shocked.
The poor guy is probably confused because there are like six people in his eyes who think that he's a worthwhile human as a hockey player. And so to be like, to have somebody come up and be like, hi, my friend really likes you. Go on video immediately. Like, how awkward would that be?
Well, I wonder, and I also kind of wonder if he thought I wanted to be in it with him. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, that's even better.
So then I'm like, but how does taking a picture together tell her hi?
Oh, because he doesn't understand fandom yet. God. He's so young and pure and innocent.
We must protect him at all costs.
Yes, but I bought a jersey, which means we're going to trade him.
Why are you? Sods and Z have been hanging on, bro. It's not completely cursed.
Although Z did break his ankle like a week after I got my Z jersey.
He's still here, though.
That's true.
He's still kicking. Kicking ass, taking names.
Yes, I will grant this.
Laying the hits that everyone else wishes they could lay, you know.
Yep.
Typical Wednesday.
typical Russian. Hey, look, brought it back around.
Look at that.
Not
in other news, the Russian Five did not play Z's style of hockey.
They sure did not.
And that's what later. This entire TED Talk was about.
They did later. One of them started to, like,
the defenseman. Four. I don't remember who it was. It might have been Konstantinov.
It was.
I don't remember. Was it?
Uh-huh.
The Vladinator.
Papa Bear went nutso on some people.
As he should have.
I mean, yes.
Live and learn, man. Live and learn.
Yes. Yep, so long story short, go see the Russian Five. You get a chance.
It is really good.
Yep.
Be prepared for feelings. Have chocolate shakes or candy or cookies or something ready. Whatever right. You do when you feel feelings, do that.
Yep.
Except run away. You can't run away from a movie.
Nope, you sure can't. Why does Colorado Springs have better money. Times than Denver for this stupid movie? So I lied.
I don't know.
There's one other place in Colorado showing it. And that's Colorado Springs. And I am really butthurt over the fact that they have evening show times and Denver is all like 1 p.m. and 12:30 p.m. That frustrates me.
There's a 3:45.
Yes.
On a Tuesday that you can't go to.
Exactly. I am opposed to this because I really would love, really would like to see it again.
Their showings are late, like 8:10. Jesus.
I mean, yeah. Well, but like the one they have a 5:45 on Tuesday. If the Denver one had a 5:45, I would be able to do that.
I wonder why they don't. That's so weird.
I know.
Like, do they think people don't do stuff like have jobs?
Apparently.
Whatever.
Well, and I have several people at work that, like the Red Wings, who I was talking to about this, and at least one of them wanted to go see it. And when I looked before, they did not have show times over this weekend or into this week. And so, you know, had I known, I would have been able to tell him that he could see it this weekend. But, you know, when you work in Fort Collins, there's no chance in hell you're getting to Denver for even a 4 o'clock show time, you know?
Yeah, no. Well, I was going to say we could go tomorrow, but we won't.
We won't make that timing.
No, I'd have to leave early.
Yeah. And I don't want to do that.
No.
I mean, we can see what time we get out of there.
That's fair.
So, tentative.
Yeah, it's a solid eh.
Yep. Story of our lives.
Pretty much. Fly by the seat of our pants most of the time.
That's so stressful. I hate it.
The Kings won.
Yes, they did.
God bless.
I mean, yay-ish.
I don't know. I'm checking the rest of the scores.
If the
app ever loads.
They didn't have much impact. They, let's see. They won in OT, though, right?
Yeah.
So our odds went up 0.2%.
So we're at like 82% now?
81.4.
Yeah.
I think. Mm. No. Hold on. That's not true because it was less than that earlier because of the other games last night because of the Wild. So 79.4.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well then.
So we have to cheer for Minnesota tomorrow.
Why?
Because they play the Coyotes.
Oh, well, they're going to lose because they like to fuck us.
Yep. If Minnesota wins, our odds go up just about 5.5%.
So that'll put us at 84?
Mm-hmm. Ish. If Arizona wins, our odds go down 3.5%.
Why is this so stressful?
Dude, right?
I'm so stressed.
Whoever introduced me to Sports Club stats needs to be shot, because I have had that up on my phone for the last week and it is the most stressful thing. But to be fair, my stress yesterday was warranted.
That's fair.
Because they...
Dude, literally everyone in our division has clinched already.
A lot of people have clinched.
And the conference, like the entire Western Conference outside of the wild card spots is clinched.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Isn't that crazy?
That was quick. I also did not realize Calgary has goddamn 103 points.
Yep.
Neat. That's neat. So neat. I'm fine. It's just stress, I swear. Is it feelings or gas? You'll never know.
All
stuff. In this case, it might be.
So what's ridiculous is that in the East, the last two in both divisions and the wild cards are still up
really
grabs. Mm-hmm. Not clinched.
Wow.
Frickin'
dude, crazy. We have not won against Calgary this season, I don't think.
That wouldn't surprise me.
But what's funny is they've been close games. Like, we've only lost by one.
Right.
So, like, the first one, well, we lost 3-5 the last one, which is, I mean, that's
Yeah.
Mm. We lost 5-6 the other one. Lost 2-3 in overtime for the first one.
Yeah, because wasn't that the one that we shit the bed on?
I would not be shocked. We were up to... nothing at the end of the first.
Yep. That's the one I remember.
Goddamn Johnny Hockey.
Tiny little man.
He's so nice, though. That's what's frustrating.
Why do hockey like, players
stop being good humans? Just let me hate you. Let me just hate everything about you instead of just hating that you play on a different team.
Right? Ugh.
First world problems, I swear to God.
I know. So the real question is, even if we do make it, let's be honest, that's completely erroneous here. Who do you think Jax is cheering for in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Your cat?
Yeah.
Let me take a pickety peek here.
You know, he's a Blues fan.
Whoa, is he?
We've had this conversation. When I still had TV package, I was playing the St. Louis versus Sharks game, and he was intently watching. Gives no fucks about the Avs games. None at all.
Well, then.
But they pans to the Blues bench, and he like whips his head around and is staring at it, listening intently.
That's spectacular.
Yep.
Oh, shit, dude. Like, Pittsburgh's barely in the playoffs right now.
I know, man.
Carolina, stop. Leave my boys alone. That's crazy. Why are the divisions so different? Oh, they're just so different. Wow.
I mean, you say that Pittsburgh's barely in the playoffs, but they're at like 99 point something percent.
Are they?
Yeah.
They have the same amount of points as Carolina does, but Carolina's in the wild card spot.
Yeah. 99.2% chance.
Must be nice.
Right? We had one fucking job.
Right.
In regulation. But no.
But what's also interesting is outside, like, all of the teams in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Have positive goal differentials. Like, there's not a single negative goal differential in the playoffs as things stand right now.
That's
not once.
I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense.
That's not anything I ever expected to like notice. Ha! Tampa Bay's only down to plus 97 for their differential. Oh, they lost 3 points.
Well, how embarrassing.
Oh, I know. God, peasants. We're plus 13. That's pretty good. Dallas is only at minus 6. They're the babies. Dude, is the Eastern Conference really that much better than the Western Conference is right now?
I don't know, man. They've got to be. I mean, points don't lie, right?
Stats don't lie either.
All right. Do we have anything else important to talk about?
I think that pretty much covers how good the movie was.
Yeah. Really enjoyed it. Go see it.
Yep. 10 out of 10 recommend.
All the feelings.
If you like this podcast, tell your friends about it and then go check it out on either iTunes or Spotify or Overcast FM or anywhere that you can catch a pod. This and every other episode that we do is brought to you by AbsFam, absfam.com. Awesome hockey shirts for awesome hockey people.